Hello, Christian singles. Welcome back to another podcast episode of Single Plus. My name is Daria White Osa, your host. Hope you are doing well. And with this particular episode, I have been in the book of James recently. And with the last episode that I did, I wanted to come from a different angle with this one. I've kind of seen this come up quite a few times. I'm still in a lot of Christian singles groups, and some may be like, well, why are you still in there because you're married now? Well, I still have a lot of friends that are in those groups. And I still feel the call, if you will, to encourage those who are still in their own single season. And just because I'm married now, my attitude is not, okay, I'm married, I don't need to hang around singles anymore. No, because when I see someone ask a question, or if someone is sharing their heart and they're feeling discouraged, God definitely pulls me to share my story with them. And so that's why I still remain there. And recently, I have been going back and forth with these particular verses. So I highly encourage you to read them for yourself. And though they don't necessarily talk about in terms of attraction, it definitely deals with partiality. So when I read these verses, you'll definitely get a better understanding of where I'm going with this. But this is going to be coming from James chapter 2. Okay, and just to give some context, James is the half brother of Jesus who came to believe in him as the Messiah later on in his own life. So he doesn't just regard Jesus as his brother. He sees him as Lord and Savior. And even when he introduces the book, he calls himself a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. So for him to believe in his own brother, you definitely have to, like, okay, he definitely saw the power and how God moved through Jesus. So sometimes we can take advantage of people when we know them and there's that familiarity. So sidebar there. But in James chapter 2, starting at verse 1, and I'll go through verses 1 through 4. And again, you can read the entire chapter in your own personal quiet time. And this is from the New King James Version. My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to them, you sit here in a good place, and say to the poor man, you stand there or sit here at my footstool. Have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? So partiality. Now, in these verses, James is referring to those who are trying to think that, okay, God only reaches out to those who are rich. God only cares about those who are well off. God's love is, people even today feel like God shows favoritism. So if a person is down and out, they don't have a lot, surely God can't reach them. You know, sometimes even when you're walking up and down the street and you see a homeless person and you're like, oh, they can't be helped. They must have done something bad to get here. And, you know, this is how their life is now. Now, if your heart's not like that, I applaud you. But some of us have made the mistake of looking at someone and because they don't have enough, or, you know, they're on hard times, that we think, okay, things are just, you know, they're just too far gone, right? And then when we look at someone that's more well off, maybe they're rich, maybe they, you know, seem well put together, they appear to be morally good, we assume that, okay, they must be a good person. You know, they say God, so they must be saved. But James is telling them, let's not look at the outward appearance. Let's not look at what someone has on the outside. God loves us all. God wants us all to be saved, whether you have a little or you have a lot. God wants us all to be saved and come to repentance. So he's telling the church, like, don't take that into consideration when it comes to sharing the gospel, whether this person is rich or poor. And if you think about the story with the rich man who came to Jesus and he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And after Jesus told him, you know, about the commandments, he's like, yeah, I've kept all the commandments since my youth. And then Jesus said, go sell all your possessions. And the Bible says in one version of the story that the rich man went away sad because he was very rich. So that just goes to show, even the richest person, if their heart is tied to those riches, Jesus is like, they can't enter the kingdom of heaven because they're not willing to put that aside. They're not willing to put me first. And that doesn't mean that riches are bad, but if riches comes before God, that's a problem. So how does all this relate to singleness? Well, I've seen a lot of questions relate to attraction. Some people show partiality when it comes to age. Like, should I date somebody that's older than me, someone that's younger than me? Should I date somebody that's, you know, of a different race or a different culture as me? And a lot of us have our preferences, right? And again, you know what you like, you know what you're attracted to, but how many of us have missed out on possibly good matches because of our own partiality? And I'll just definitely let that sit with you because, I mean, all of us do it in one way or another. We may not mean to, but because of our world being so digital now, especially when it comes to dating apps, we look at a profile picture, and if they don't have the right look, if they don't wear the right clothes, if they don't have enough photos, or if we don't like what they said in their profile, we swipe left, right? As opposed to like, okay, what's the story behind this person? Do we genuinely want to get to know people, or are we so focused on finding what we want? And then again, when it comes to looking into preferences, and that doesn't mean that this person has to have it all together. And that doesn't mean that even if they quote unquote do have it all together, that they're going to treat you right. It reminds me of a sermon by Pastor Jerry Flowers. He was giving an example of this woman who made the comment that she couldn't date a man who made less than six figures. And the average income, for what I've seen in terms of statistics, the average income for men in the US, for those of you that listen internationally, it may be different for you, but the average income, I think, give or take, may be around $40,000 to $50,000 for the American man. So that, you know, if you have the mindset that he has to make six figures, or if you're a man listening, like she has to, you know, make a certain amount, how many people again are you missing out? And I'm not saying that they're reckless. Yes, you do want to look at patterns. How are they treating their finances? You know, are they being good stewards? Are they managing their money well? Are they saving? Again, are they taking care of things in a responsible way? So again, this is not to say that this person has to have it all together, but again, do we write people off? Do we make rash judgments? Do we make assumptions because of our own preferences and because of partiality? And we again assume. We assume. So with that comment about the whole six figures, or let's say you're partial when it comes to age, you know, as you get older, you may be thinking, I don't know if I want to date somebody older than me, or I don't want to date somebody that's, you know, younger than me. Again, where do you find yourself? Where do you find yourself when it comes to the things that we think that we want? And I know for me, just from my own personal story prior to getting married, I did have a type. So maybe you want to reevaluate your type when it comes to this conversation. I know for me, I was more into guys that are more on the athletic side, especially in high school. I can't even begin to tell you why. But especially in high school, I was attracted to more of the athletic types. The guy had to play sports. I guess the term, if they even still use it now, would be jocks, right? So I had a type, but even though I was attracted to those types of guys, not all of them, but the majority of them were cocky and they did not treat me well. So while they may have been popular, they may have been stars on the basketball team or football team, and all the girls like, oh my gosh, you're talking to so-and-so. Oh my gosh, you know, he likes you. Oh my gosh, you know, you're so lucky to be with him, you know, at what cost, you know, at what cost, because of my preferences and partiality, you know, I did overlook some guys that I possibly could have given a chance. And I remember one particular guy who wasn't a jock, who wasn't on any of the teams, and we were friends. And in that particular instance, I didn't feel the same way about him. And I did my best not to lead him on. We had a great conversation where I was honest with him. He was honest with me. He shared how he felt about me, but nothing came of it because I just did not see him that way. So I was very, very adamant about that. Even as a high schooler, I did not want to lead a guy on if I knew he liked me and I did not like him back. I was not going to take advantage of him like that, thinking that I can get over on him, or at least I have somebody. So even though I don't like him, no, that's the wrong attitude. So all of that to say, this conversation is to really help us look within and ask ourselves, okay, Lord, am I showing partiality when it comes to dating, when it comes to being open? Because again, you never know how God may want to bless you. And even just recently, prior to getting engaged and marrying my husband, I didn't think I had a preference. I really didn't see it as me being partial, but When my husband first told me that he was a youth pastor, I was like, okay, Lord, can he be a banker? Can he work in construction? And again, I had nothing against pastors. If you know my story, I grew up in a pastor's family. My dad has been in ministry for right at 40 years. He's been pastoring for most of those years. So I've been in the church all my life. I grew up in the church. And while I do not regret how I grew up, and I love the fact that I got to grow up in a Christian home and my parents really laid the foundation for us to have Christian values, and they taught us the Bible, especially my mom, because we were homeschooled for probably by the time I was about to go into the seventh grade, my sisters and I were homeschooled. So my older sister, she was already in high school. My mom, seriously, I applaud my parents for putting and instilling the word into us as young girls. And so that really sustained me growing up. When my husband told me that, I was like, Lord, though I've seen the beautiful side of ministry, and I know that the impact that my parents have had in spreading the gospel and teaching and preaching the word, my dad being such a giver and pouring into people, I've also seen the backside of that. And there were some unfortunate incidents that happened. And I've been through some church splits, and there's been a lot of church hurt. People who I thought loved us and cared for us turned their backs on us and stabbed us in the back, unfortunately. And, just a lot of hurt. So when it came to me dating, I never really considered dating a pastor. It never crossed my mind. It never entered my thoughts one time. And it took me a while to kind of embrace that. So I was open to talking to my husband early on. I really didn't think anything was going to come of it. We had some great conversations, messaging back and forth, but I didn't really see anything panning out between us, honestly. My brain wasn't quite there. It wasn't until I realized once he asked for my number and we got away from just chatting to now actually being on the phone and talking, like, okay, Lord, I think he's pursuing me. And I had to make a decision. And the Lord was like, are you going to write him off because it's not what you thought it would be? And I really had to sit with that because as I got to know him, I was literally just overwhelmed, like, wow, God, this is everything that I ever prayed for, who he is as a man, how he carries himself, his faith. Seriously, his faith just ignited my faith even that much more. Again, I grew up in church, but to get around my husband, even now as we're married, his fire for God inspires me. It challenges me to go deeper with the Lord in my own relationship. So the things that I saw early on in our dating, I did think that, you know what, Lord, I don't know if I want to pursue this. I don't know. But the Lord challenged me. He's like, are you going to walk away from this because it's not what you thought? But what if it's what you need? And that's the thing. We have our preferences. We're partial to things that we think we want, even the things that we may be attracted to. But we really have to ask ourselves the question, is this something that I think I want? Or is this something that God may be blessing me with because it's what I need? And again, this is not advocating to date somebody that you're not attracted to. This is not to say that you need to just date somebody, that you really don't like and you're just, going through the motions because you don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. This is not about sympathy dating, okay? Please do not take it that way. My challenge to everyone listening, men and women, is just to be open. That's something that God challenged me with, was just to be open, to get out of my box, to get out of my preferences, to get out of what I thought I wanted, and really to just let God have his way in the situation, to let him surprise me, really. And I'm so glad that I took that chance because, again, even though it's not what I imagined, is everything that I could have prayed for and then some. And now to be married almost about 9 months into marriage, by the time you're listening to this episode, now I'm able to work side by side with my husband in ministry. Right now, currently, we're on the digital team together. So we go to the meetings together. If I have an idea, we bounce them off of each other, vice versa. When he's on to preach, I let him have his quiet time. Sometimes he'll share with me what God is showing him, but I love seeing God work through him. And again, what would I have missed out on had I been partial? Had I had just stayed in my tunnel vision, thinking, no, it's got to be this. They have to have this. He has to have that. He has to have this. It's got to be like this. Who are you missing out on? Okay, so again, those verses come from James chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, But I will also read verse 5. Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? So again, God's love is available to everyone. God's salvation is available to everyone. Doesn't matter if they're rich, poor, they have a little, have a lot. So as you're dating, as you're putting yourself out there, just stay open. You never know what God can do. You never know how God may just blow your mind. And the testimonies that I've seen from people that I've been friends with, especially these last few years of being an online community, and a lot of them have gotten married within the last couple of years, along with myself. And the number one thing that I keep seeing with their stories and their testimonies is they were open. They gave it a chance. They stepped out of their comfort zone. They allow God to just move through the situation, and they took their hands off it. They just took one date at a time. And now they're like, wow, I can't imagine my life without this person. You know, if I had written them off, if I had just, you know, said, nah, this is not going to work, I would have missed out on an incredible, incredible person who makes me want to be better. And we give God glory together. So I hope that that encourages you again as you're dating. And again, I know that it can be challenging. And again, there's nothing wrong with your preferences. There's nothing wrong with what you're attracted to, as long as it's God honoring. But are you so rigid with what you want that you're failing to open your hand and say, okay, God, I'm surrendering this to you. Not my will, yours be done. Because at the end of the day, God knows what you need. He knows who the best person is for you that's going to bring out the best in you, someone that you can do life with, someone that you can, you know, just make an impact for the kingdom with. And it's sad that we've allowed culture and even some of that, you know, societal expectations of dating have creeped into the church. And now you hear even some Christians, you know, who are caught up in preferences and, you know, what they will and won't go for. So yes, have a standard. Absolutely. I'm not saying that you should not have a standard. I'm not saying that, again, you just need to just take what you can get because, you know, time is running out for you. Absolutely not. This is not about settling for less. This is about, again, you remaining open, you not making assumptions about a person, but be willing to get to know them. Be curious. You know, be genuinely open to see what could possibly happen. And if it doesn't work out, I think there's a lot of fear of it not working out because so many Christians are like, well, is this the one? I have to know if this person is the one because I don't want to waste my time. And I want to encourage you with that thought. Okay. I want to encourage you with that thought because yes, I get it. I used to feel that way. But yes, there are instances where God may reveal to someone that this person is their spouse. In my story, God did reveal to my husband early on that I was his wife. Me, God did not tell me that. I don't know why he told my husband and not me right away, but he didn't. Hey, he's God. He can do what he wants. But for me, God had me walk it out. I had to take it date by date, conversation by conversation. And with time, I began to see confirmations. And what were the confirmations? Everything that I had prayed for, because you know what you're looking for. Only you know what you are genuinely looking for in a spouse. So the things that I had prayed for that I knew that I had been specific about, I saw that in my husband, and the evidence couldn't be denied. So for me, God confirmed it over time. And within a year of us dating, it became even clearer. And some of us like, well, I don't want to, you know, take that much time because what if we date for a year or 2 years and it still doesn't work out? If it doesn't work out, first and foremost, trust your heart to God first. I think sometimes we're too dependent on people to make us happy. We're too dependent on people thinking, you know, well, if they're not the one, then I'm going to be heartbroken. I'm not saying that it won't hurt. I'm not saying that you won't have to go through a process of healing if it doesn't work out, because again, your emotions get involved. You get attached to this person, you know, you share feelings, you share thoughts. But at the end of the day, God first and foremost should be the one that holds your heart. And if it doesn't work out, trust. I had to say this even in dating. And even as my feelings got involved and I was starting to care for my husband on a deeper level, I was like, Lord, I believe this is leading to something. But if it doesn't work out, I trust you. If it doesn't work out, I'm not damaged goods. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't mean that I'm not lovable. It doesn't mean that I'll never meet anybody else. Father, I trust you. My heart belongs to you first and foremost before I ever share it with someone else. And a lot of us have not done that. So I encourage you to surrender your heart to the Lord first if you have not already, trusting that even if it doesn't work out with this person, that he has your heart first and foremost. And he will heal it. He will restore it. And he can help you open up again with the next person that may come into your life who could be your potential spouse. So let's not be so focused on finding the one, because ultimately, even when you meet your spouse, I think a perfect example of that is with the woman at the well in John chapter 4. She had had five marriages, and the man that she was living with was not even her husband. I was listening to a sermon not too long ago that was saying her symptoms were being in relationship after relationship after relationship after relationship, right? But what was the root of that? Was it loneliness? Was it because she just, you know, had to have a man all the time? She saw her identity in a relationship. But when she met Jesus, when she had a true encounter with Jesus, even though she came to the well to get water because she was thirsty, she left that day refreshed because she had an encounter with the living water. So even when you are in relationships, that's not going to sustain you. Have an encounter with Jesus for yourself if you have not already. Surrender your heart to him first and foremost, knowing that he is going to take care of you. And even if the situation or this relationship doesn't end the way that you thought it would, can you take your hands off of the wheel and say, Lord, I trust you. It didn't work out like I thought, but I believe you. I have faith for this thing, and keep going. So again, I encourage you to read those verses, James chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And again, I hope that this encouraged you and blessed you. So Father, thank you for those that are listening right now. Father, forgive us for being partial and for making assumptions about people and prejudging them. Father, a lot of us get caught up in preferences, and this person has to look a certain way. They have to make a certain amount of money. They have to have a certain, whatever it is that may, Father, some of us have lists a mile long of what we want in a spouse. And while there's nothing wrong with knowing what we want, sometimes, Father, we're so rigid with it that we write people off without giving them a chance. So Father, I just pray that for those that are listening right now, they would give people a chance. No, this is not about settling. No, this is not about lowering standards just to get somebody. But Father, just being open, because you have some incredible sons and daughters out here in this earth. And a lot of them, Father, they've been hurt in bad relationships. A lot of them have been in toxic relationships, abusive relationships. Father, some of them have been married before and the marriage didn't work out the way that they thought it was. So now they feel scarred. But Father, I thank you that you are healing right now. You're healing hearts right now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, God, that in this area of relationships that you are bringing restoration. Thank you, God, for healing the hearts of the women who have felt looked over by men. Father, I thank you that you were touching the hearts of men who maybe have felt friend zoned by a woman and they felt like she didn't take him seriously. And he tried to pursue her, but she wrote him off because she didn't see him that way. But Father, I thank you for kingdom connections in the name of Jesus, where men and women, your sons and daughters are being open, Lord God, and they're letting go of their will so that your will can be done. Because Father, there needs to be more kingdom relationships in this earth, in a world, Father, that treats relationships so casually, where they're reduced to hookups. People don't even see the point of marriage anymore. They just live with the person, Father, because they think it's safer. Father, I thank you that your sons and daughters are going to be a representation of what kingdom marriage is supposed to be in this earth. And Father, I thank you for those that feel that call. They believe that they're meant to be married. They have that desire. It's a true desire. It's a genuine desire. So Father, I pray they would just surrender that desire to you, believing and trusting you, Father, for the outcome. And Father, should the relationship that they're in right now, should it not work out, Father, that doesn't mean that they're unlovable. It doesn't mean, Father, that they'll never meet anybody. Father, I pray that they would just trust their heart first and foremost to you, that they would just surrender it to you, realizing that you're going to take care of them, realizing that you love them more than a spouse ever could. And they may meet an incredible spouse, Father. They may meet someone who is everything that they ever prayed for. But Father, even the best spouse on this planet, is still a drop in the bucket compared to your love for us, Father, that you demonstrated for us on Calvary. So, Father, I pray that as spouses come into their lives, Father, as new relationships come into their lives, that they would not make that person an idol. They would not put that person on a pedestal, but that you would remain number one in their hearts. Because, Father, as a husband and wife get closer to you, pursue their relationship with you, it naturally draws them together. So, Father, I plead the blood, Father, over hearts tonight. Heal what needs to be healed. Restore what needs to be restored. And, Father, I pray that you would just heal, Father, what's been broken. The enemy, Father, has taken advantage of this area, unfortunately. And now people are cynical. They're bitter. They think maybe it's not going to happen for them. They think, you know, everybody's out to get them. There's just so much resentment, God. But Father, I thank you that, again, you are restoring this area and that we, your people, are taking this back, that we are taking back relationships in Jesus' name for your glory and for your honor, especially in these last days, God, where the gospel needs to be shining brighter than ever. And one way, Father, to demonstrate the gospel is with kingdom relationships, because husbands and wives are supposed to represent Jesus Christ and the church. It's supposed to be a picture of the gospel. So we bind the enemy and his attempts to distort that picture in Jesus' name. So I thank you, God, for marriages that are going to be thriving. I thank you, God, for relationships that are going to be forming, whether they thought they would be married earlier in life or not. Father, I thank you, God, for the person that's going to see that their prayers are going to be answered in this area. And it'll be well worth the wait, Lord. It'll be so well worth the wait. So I thank you, praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all so much. Again, subscribe to the podcast if you have not already. You can also follow on Instagram at MySinglePlus. If you're looking for Christian godly community, I highly recommend the Christian Singles Hub. You can join the Facebook group on Facebook. You can also go to the ChristianSinglesHub.com to check out all the events, including in-person and online, as well as retreats and even the U.S. tour that is going on currently. So again, thank you so much. Stay safe out there. I'll talk to y'all later. God bless. Bye.